will desire an interest in your prayers, that what we have to say will be beneficial to all of us, myself included. I would like to continue maybe our thought that we've had kind of for several services about spiritual growth. And this morning I'd like to talk specifically about trees of righteousness. So I'll write that up here. Trees of righteousness. In Psalms, the first psalm, first three verses, we'd like to begin reading there. And just like for us to draw our minds in from whatever we've been engaged in the last week or so, and ask the Lord to visit our hearts. We've talked about growth from different perspectives, and one of the things that we've tried to emphasize that just because something doesn't grow exponentially doesn't mean it's not growing. And I want to encourage you to be encouraged with growth, just growth, period. I believe it's good for us to reflect back on our lives and ask ourselves, have I grown or not? I think that's a very profitable thing. Yesterday, will fit here, but it wasn't the inspiration for our message. Yesterday, I was there at Sister Jeannie's house, and I'm not real sure when the place had some swings on it and a little slide and kind of a little fort. I'm pretty sure that Brother Herschel probably put that up for his children when they lived in the old house that was there and then built the new house that I remember helping Brother Herschel a little bit on when he built the house that the family lives in now. And there's a couple old hedge trees in the front yard, and there's a metal bracket that I'm pretty sure that Brother Herschel screwed into the side of that tree. Like sometimes you'll see these metal brackets that you put a piece of treated wood on and then hang your swings off of. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And this metal bracket that's kind of a saddle for the 2x6s or whatever they are sitting in there, he had maybe, I don't know what he did there, but he screwed it right onto the hedge tree. Well, we all know hedge pretty sturdy. It's going to be around a while. And the bracket was probably, I'm going to say when he screwed it on, stood away from the tree, you know, the bracket was probably 3 inches. Maybe something like that. And that tree has grown enough since he screwed it on there that it is almost completely encapsulated the metal bracket and the end of that board. Now, the board is not holding up real good. It's still holding a swing, but I don't know if I wanted to swing on it. It's probably for lightweight children. But anyway... that tree has grown over the years, and Brother Ron Zachariah was there, and we were looking at this bracket, and he said, well, a hedge tree is not a very fast growing tree. Well, it's not, but I know for a fact that it's been there probably well over 20 years. I don't know just how long, but it's been there a long time, And this tree is not completely covered, but it's growing. There is no way to take this bracket off without some serious cutting on the tree. So the tree's grown, right? Here in Psalms, the first Psalm, beginning in the first verse, it said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So, who's he talking about here? He's talking about a man, isn't he? He said, blessed is the man. Blessed is, we could put our names in there, couldn't we? Blessed is the individual. Ultimately, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, if you're flying somewheres in an airplane and the atmosphere is clear and you look down across the countryside, and I don't care where you're flying at, it could be a foreign country, it could be in our United States, it could be just wherever. If you're flying and you look out the window and there's a line of trees, it obviously it's trees and brushy type things that is going across the countryside, and it usually has little crooks and curves, and sometimes it's a whole bunch. It could be beautiful farmland all around it. It could be like a desert. It could be something that's pretty much barren, but if you see kind of a crooked line of trees going across the countryside when you look out the airplane window, what do you know about that? There's water down there. There's a river. There's trees. Well, there's water, there's going to be, if there's long-term water, there's going to be long-term tree growth. That's what's going to happen. We don't have to be a specialist in anything. We can just be a simple observer, and we can draw the conclusion if we look out there and we see this kind of curly line of trees, well, there's got to be water down there. If you look and you see maybe you can't see the water, but you see kind of a spot where there's a group of trees around something, well, there's something there. There's some water there. Maybe there's a pond. Maybe there's a small lake. There's some moisture there that would support trees growing. Okay? So notice what he says in verse 1 and verse 2. Because we said that trees grow slow, right? Hedge trees grow slow. Oak trees grow slow. There's a lot of slow-growing trees. And just to say tree in general tells us that there's something about it that's slow in growth. Okay? He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So it means that when the counsel of the ungodly comes along, that you don't buy into that. The counsel of the ungodly, where do we find the counsel of the ungodly? All around us, don't we? We find the counsel of the ungodly on every hand. sometimes you pull up to there's this little convenience store over here now that kind of surprises me the first time that it happens, but if you go up here and you swipe your card and you put the nozzle in your tank and you start to pump some gas, and all of a sudden They've got a little screen that comes on and it starts talking to you and it's wanting you to buy candy bars or sometimes it's lottery tickets or whatever. But everywhere we turn, there is something getting our attention. Maybe it's on the end cap in the when you walk in the convenience store. One of the things a lot of times it's on the end of the aisle is beef jerky. Well, that's a high price real estate on the end cap of the. That's what people's going to see first before they go up and down the aisle and trying to find the corn nuts from the potato chips. They're going to see the end cap first. There's counsel all around us. I'm not telling you that it's ungodly to eat corn nuts or beef jerky. I'm just telling you that the enemy has things all around us that's trying to get our attention, to buy in, to take some of this, to incorporate that in our life. It's all of these things will cause a growth that's not spiritual growth. It will undermine spiritual growth. And he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not take the advice of the ungodly to buy into their product, whatever it is. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What does it mean to stand in the way of sinners? The way of the sinner is the path that the sinner's walking in. yesterday also, I was driving along and there was a large articulated four-wheel drive tractor out there pulling a very large piece of tillage implement behind it. And it was making a seed bed out there, but they need some water, folks, over there in Kansas. It was dry, and there was so much dust that I couldn't hardly see the tractor or the implement to tell exactly what he was pulling through the field. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if he can see where he's going, because it was such a whirl of dust around this. But that's the way of the tractor. That was the way that the farmer was going. You know, he says here, blessed is the man that don't walk in the counsel, that don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. If you went out in that field, in fact, when I got over there and I saw them working the the fields and I knew I was going to be turning off of the blacktop and going down the gravel road, I turned my air conditioner to max AC. You know why? You boys know why? When I turn it to max AC, it only recirculates the air inside my cab. I don't want none of that dirt inside. I'll try to keep it out. So I turned it to max AC. I was just real glad it was summertime so I could do that. Don't stand in the way of the sinner. Don't get out there in the road where all the dirt's flying. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't put yourself in a place. You know, if you sit next to somebody that's talking about everybody else, it's going to rub off on you. It's pretty hard not to pick up the habit of being criticizing other people if you're sitting with people that's criticizing people. You know, if I sit down next to you and you say, well, look at Brother Danny. I don't think he combed his hair this morning. look at Brother Rodney. did he iron that shirt this morning? You know, and pretty soon, if you sit next to somebody that's talking like that, before long, you're going to be doing it too, because it's normal. And that's the thing. He says here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But this is where we turn and do something different. This is where we take a proactive action. You know, I could have said yesterday, it's not really hot enough to run my max AC on my pickup truck. It wasn't really. In fact, it was. The air was blowing pretty freely, and it'd been a day that if it wasn't for the dirt, I would have rolled my window down. But because I didn't want the dirt inside my cab, I turned max AC on. You know what we have to do? We realize that there is the way of the sinner, the path of the ungodly, or the counsel of the ungodly. We realize there's a seat of the scornful, and we have to take some proactive measurement if we want to grow, if we want to be a tree of righteousness. You're going to have to turn your max AC on, keep the dirt out, the literal dirt, but you're going to have to keep the spiritual dirt out. Turn the max AC on. You know, when the weather's pleasant, I still like to roll my window down. Hang my arm out the window. Let the wind blow through my hair or whatever. It just feels good. But I'm going to tell you, if I'm coming up and there's smoke everywhere or there's dirt flying, I'm going to roll the window up and I'm going to turn the max AC on. And when we're going through life and there's all of these influences that we know is not going to lead us in a path that we ought to go, roll your windows up. Turn your max AC on, so to speak. Some of our cars, you can push a button for recirc, and you can do that with the heater on. My truck don't do that. But it says here, but take a proactive measure here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Instead of sitting down beside somebody that's going to be scornful, choose to sit down by somebody that you know is going to be complimentary, that's going to have the best interests of the situation in mind. You know, we can do that as young people, I'm thinking. I remember those times when, as a young person, I came in and I was old enough that my parents would let me sit where I wanted to. You know, I'm talking about teenagers. I could sit where I wanted to, really, with maybe some minor advice from my parents. Go to camp meeting, I could walk in there and I could have chose to sit down by somebody that could have been a different influence to me. But it says here, his delight is in the law of the Lord. If you go to, we can do that as older people too. We can sit down by somebody that after you're there for a while, you wonder, why are they here? Because everything that's happening is wrong in their opinion. They're not here for the cause. They're only here to find fault. And if you wasn't discouraged when you sat down by them, you will be before you get up. Why not choose to sit down by somebody that says, let's pray for the service. Let's pray for the song leader. Let's pray for the minister that the word will touch the hearts the way it needs to be touched. Let's pay attention and be a good example to those that's around us that might be looking on. It says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm going to tell you, meditating can be a tedious process. You know, if you're familiar with doing something, I don't care what it is. It could be making lasagna, and I don't make lasagna. But if you're familiar with making lasagna and you need to make enough lasagna to feed 200 people, Did you know that you can be meditating and thinking, all right, now how am I going to do this? When we get there, I'm going to have this person browning the meat and this person greasing the pans and this person getting the noodles out. And you can have this all sorted out. But just to meditate and ask the Lord to give you inspiration sometimes, it don't come real quickly like that. You have to give yourself to meditation. Put yourself in a place where the Lord can speak to you and not fill yourself with so much other stuff, your mind, your attention, but give yourself to a place where the Lord can give you inspiration and give you direction. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the end result is as he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. He'll be like something that is planted by a constant source of energy, of nutrition, of being able to grow. And yes, I know that growing is a long-term thing. I would like to turn now, maybe we'll turn to Isaiah 61 and notice 61st chapter of Isaiah. Jesus, if we read Luke chapter 4, Jesus was reading this in the ears of those that was there in Nazareth, I believe. But here is what he was reading from, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So there's an end objective to growth, spiritual growth. All trees come from some type of seed, right? How big is a tree seed? It can be extremely small. It can be so small that you wonder, what is this? I mean, it's almost like you can't hardly see it. And then it can be as big as the acorns on my bur oak tree that's about an inch and a half in diameter. That's a pretty large seed for a tree. But a pecan is a seed, isn't it, for a tree? The pit in a peach is a seed for the tree, isn't it? But the little whirly bird things that come off of a maple, that's a seed, isn't it? And so these trees come from a seed, and when they first start to sprout and come up, can we pull them up pretty easily? We can. It says here that the Isaiah is a, what kind of man is he? Was he a roofer? He wasn't a mechanic either. What was he? He was a prophet. He was a prophet, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He's anointed me to give you a vision, to prophesy of something that's going to happen in the future. Isaiah was talking about this hundreds of years before Christ came, and yet, what's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel age that was going to come. And the gospel age was going to come, and there was going to be brokenness that could be bound up, that could be repaired. There could be all of the captives that were captivated by sin and the seed of the scornful and the way of the wicked sinner and all of that, they could be turned free from that in the gospel age if they would avail themselves of that. And he said, I'm giving you this to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm telling you there's going to come a time, Isaiah said, that this is going to happen, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, those that are grieving because they don't have the ability to rise above the seed of the scornful, the way of the wicked, and the influence of sinful things in life. The ones that's mourning for that. There's always a cry when you see society degrading. You look around and why is there so many divorces? And why is there so many people that don't have parents? And why are there so many school shootings? And why is all this happening? If you've got any level of compassion and sympathy, it looks like society is all going downhill, right? You don't have to be a religious person to look around and say, this shouldn't be happening. There's something inherent that God give us to recognize that humanity is becoming more animal-like rather than God-like all around us. And it's grievous. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, I think he's specifically talking about descendants of Abraham, but I believe that mankind in general were all descendants of God from Adam and Eve and through Noah. He says, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning. He wants us to have something that will bring hope and peace and joy and happiness in our life. Something that's substantial. Something that would elevate us to a higher plane than just going down in the gutter with everything else that's all around us. It says to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning or sadness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called what? The trees of righteousness. God wants us to be more than a tomato plant. He wants us to be more than something that just grows during the summer and then fizzles out in the winter. Did you know what the word perennial means? By definition, it means something... a plant that lives or continues more than 2 years, whether it retains its leaves or not. Some trees keep their foliage all through the year, and others, they lose all their leaves. There are plants that, depending on where you plant them, in what zone or growing season you plant them. Some of them are perennials in the South that wouldn't be perennials here. My dad used to plant one of those. It's called a castor bean. You ever heard of a castor bean? Castor oil, you ever heard of that? My dad used to plant castor beans because to try to keep bugs out of his garden. So he would plant a few in his garden. Don't eat them. They'll kill you, but castor beans are good about keeping pests away from your garden. So I remember one year he planted some castor beans, and these things were way taller than 6 feet. I don't know how tall they were. And the stalk on that thing got big enough. It was probably that big around, maybe 3 or 4 inches in diameter, and it started to look like it got bark on it. Well, come wintertime, it died. I've never seen a castor bean live through the winter. But I'm told that if you go down in zone 9 or further south, closer to the equator, castor bean becomes a perennial. And it can be a tree 30 or 40 feet tall sometimes. I didn't know that till I looked it up on the internet, okay? Did you know that the Lord wants us to be a tree of righteousness? He don't want you to just get an experience and grow through the summer, the camp meeting time. You know, you get a little extra nourishment and you get with some other people and you kind of be able to tune the world out to a certain extent and you my, you got some size on you. You almost look like you're getting some bark down there by your ankles. But sure as you go back home and winter comes and real life sets in, you fizzle out. Every one of those castor beans my dad planted ended up wilting with the frost. They ended up dying. The next year, there might have been a kind of a stalk to cut off or dig up. I don't remember that. It's been a long time ago. But if we just didn't live far enough south to have a castor bean that lived through the winter. You know the Lord wants us to live through the winter. He wants us to grow and be a perennial. And He wants us, I'm going to tell you, He wants us to last longer than 2 years. He wants us to last for a lifetime. And not just a lifetime here on earth. I want to challenge us that He wants our life to live on and on. And others to be able to point back and say, my roots go back to this. I'm not talking about anchoring in men. I'm talking about anchoring in an experience. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, to change things around, you see, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified, that God, did you know that God wants you to grow? He wants you to not only gain victory and bring beauty out of something that's been burnt over in your life. Ever had any heartache? If you hadn't, you just probably hadn't lived very long. You live long enough, you're going to have some heartache. You're going to have some things that you feel like you just can't hardly make it through. The Lord wants to give you beauty for that. He wants to bring something out of that that will be attractive to someone else. Your hardship could be something that you can gain victory in and over and through to the point that somebody else sees a beautiful picture and image of the power of God. That's what He wants to do for us. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You ever been pushed down with the spirit of heaviness? There's a little children's song, not a children's song, a children's story about a little chicken that had something fall on its head and said, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. You know, we can feel like the sky's falling on us. We can feel. Have you ever felt oppressed by life? We can be. We can feel oppressed by just the idea of getting up. I don't think I'm speaking out of line. But the Lord wants to give us a deliverance over the spirit of heaviness, but not just momentarily, not just for a growing season. He wants us to be able to continue to grow, even if there might be some short periods of being dormant. You know, our trees that lose their leaves, they go into a dormant state for just a little bit. But the spring comes up, sap starts running, they're not dead. they were just dormant for a little while. And the sap cops running up yesterday, a lot of different things that inspired me yesterday. We got, some of the others got to talking about making syrup out of tree sap. Well, we all know they make syrup out of maple sap, right? Well, they was talking about making it out of different other trees. I better not start naming them, but I mentioned to them, well, what about hackberry? You know, hackberry is kind of a juicy tree sometimes in the summer, and hackberries, you know, they can kind of taste pretty good. I wonder if you could make syrup out of hackberry sap. They said, I don't know, but we got a lot of hackberry around here. We could make some hackberry syrup. You know, the Lord wants to make something sweet out of whatever it is. He wants, when the spring comes, when the growing season starts, He wants us to be in a position where we can really make some progress. And if you've had some heavy trials and you feel like your sap got drained out of it, we can feel that way, can't we? You're not dead. You're just regrouping for a growth spurt. May the Lord help us. I want us to grow. I want us to be a spirit. I want us to be a tree of righteousness. I want to read another scripture. I like to go to Proverbs 11th chapter, passage of scripture. I want to look over here. Proverbs chapter 11. I have four bur oak trees at my house. One of them, I'm going to call it a sapling. It's come up from an acorn since I've lived there. In fact, it's probably less than 10 years old. And it's probably, I don't know, 10, 12 feet tall. And at the very bottom of it, it's probably as big around as my forearm or a little bit bigger. And I've got one behind my house that was a substantial tree when we moved there. But it has grown and matured enough that it has started producing acorns. And then I've got one bigger than that in the front yard. And then I've got the big one. And my big one is probably close to 5 feet in diameter. Circumference is over 16 feet. And the largest bur oak tree in the world, I guess, at least in the United States, if there is some in other countries, is up here close to Columbia along the Missouri River. And they say that it's probably around 400 years old, and it's about 7.5 feet in diameter. And if you use their AI, help me with this, my tree is probably 250 years old. So my tree very likely could have been the size of the sapling that I have when we declared our independence, the 13 colonies declared their independence from King George. You think about that. That tree's been around a while. And it makes lots of acorns, and they're big. I want to read some here in Proverbs chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. It says, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but the blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more than the wicked and the sinner. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Did you know that the fruit coming from a tree of righteousness is part of the tree of life? The Lord wants us to be a perennial, a long-term perennial, not a 10-year-old. Have you ever noticed somebody that planted maybe one of the things that gets planted along driveways sometimes is Bradford pear trees? Y'all have seen that. How long does a Bradford pear tree last? Not very long. What I've seen is the wind, they get up a little bit and the wind breaks limbs off. If you don't keep them trimmed back, they're not a very good tree. They're pretty. I like their pretty shape. They're pretty blossoms. They stink. And the wind breaks limbs off of them. And it won't be long and that beautiful row of Bradford pears will be gone. 20 years, you'll have to replace some, I guarantee you, in this part of the world. But the fruit of the righteous, it says, is a tree of life. We want others to be able to benefit from the fruit off of our tree. How long does it take a tree to produce fruit? So of my four trees that I have in my yard, when I moved there, well, one of them wasn't there when I moved there, it's come up. Well, the one behind the house did not make acorns. I've lived in this house 20 years plus. When we first got there, there was no acorns, right? How long ago has it been that they started making acorns? 2 or 3 years ago, my wife said, "We're going to have to cut that tree down." I said, "What do you want to cut my oak tree down for?" She said, "Well, I about fell and broke my ankle out there stepping on those acorns because they're big. They're like stepping on a golf ball or something." And she said, "I twisted my ankle." And this is what she said to me. "Well, if we're not going to cut it down, you've got to figure out something to do with those acorns. I don't want to trip and fall." Well, I haven't cut the tree down. I'm pretty determined not to cut it down. But how old do you think that tree was? It wasn't 2 years old when I moved there. I'm going to say that it was probably 20 years old when we moved there. You know what I found out? It can take as much as 35 years before a bur oak starts producing acorns. Depending on its circumstances, its environment, it might be 35 years old before it starts producing acorns. So if you got a bur oak tree that's producing acorns, it's not a little one. You know, it's been there a while. It's been there at least 20 years probably. The fruit of the righteous will be a tree of life. I don't know how to convey the passion that I feel, that I want us as individuals to grow to the point that we as individuals and collectively will be a tree of righteousness. Not just because I want to see some big burly spiritual person, so to speak, that's 5 foot in diameter. No, it's more important than that. It's important that we have fruit. It says here, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. If we are not mature enough to produce fruit, then what hope is there for the next generation, for the world around us. If I am continually being an annual plant, you know what an annual is? Planted in spring, dies in the fall. You plant a wheat crop, maybe it survives the winter, and it grows up and matures and produces a head of grain, and it's done. It produces a head of grain, and a wheat plant is checking out. As soon as it gets dry enough, the farmer's going to harvest it. And it don't come back up. It's got to have another seed planted. There is no such thing as a wheat plant that's 250 years old. There's no such thing. There are oak trees that are 250 years old. I got one. You want to come see it? I'll show you my oak tree. I want us to be mature enough to produce fruit that is of the tree of righteousness, to where it will help change the course of this world. We're not going to get there if we're not focused on growth. Personal, physical growth. Not personal growth as in the world's philosophy would be, although there may be some of it that'll be manifested. You got to have some intent. You got to have some purpose. But I'm going to tell you, spiritual growth is more important than any other kind of personal development you can do. And the world is all amped up, if that's a phrase you're familiar with. The world is all amped up about personal growth and personal development and personal this and personal that. And I want to tell you that spiritual growth, spiritual development supersedes any personal development. If we are to ever see the world a better place than it is today, then we must grow spiritually. We must be willing to be a perennial, season after season. If you go through a phase in your life that there may be a little bit of dormancy, Lord help us to not get sick and die. But come out of that, and when the growing season starts, and put ourselves in a place where we can get the water of life, just like a tree. We sing a song sometime, just like a tree planted by the waters. Lord, help us to plant ourselves by the water of the Word, that we'll be able to grow thereby and be able to produce the fruit that is of the tree of life. I want the world to be better because I lived diligently and carefully and chose who I sat by and the place I walked in and the counsel I listened to. Instead of the world becoming a worse place because of the counsel I listened to, the way I walked and where I sat. That's the advice in Psalms. As blessed is the man that walketh, we're not in the counsel of the ungodly, that don't stand in the way of the sinners and don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I want to sit, I want to walk in the way, and I want to listen to counsel that'll help me grow. And I'm going to have to be the one that makes the choice. I can either scroll and absorb things that I shouldn't, or I can absorb things that I should. I can absorb things that's just a filler. You can hide cornbread and meatloaf, mashed potatoes and meatloaf. You can put filler in lots of food. And we can put filler in spiritual food, just empty filler. People tell us now that drinking out of plastic water bottles puts microplastics in our body. I read somewhere here recently that a lot of us have the equivalent of a plastic spoon in our brain because of all the I don't know. Lord help us in the day we live in. I just want us to be focused today on spiritual growth and not just growing enough to put on a bean pod or a tomato. I want us to grow into a tree, something that's substantial, something that might take you a few years to really produce some fruit that can begin to sprout itself, but be willing to keep your focus. Lord, help us. I don't know where we're all at. If you're going in a dormant, if you've been in a dormant stage, come out of there by the grace of God. Jonah didn't stay in the belly of the whale. He come out. Why did he come out? Why did he come out of the belly of the whale? You think if he had got down in the belly of the whale and said, Lord, I don't know why you let this happen to me. You know those people at Nineveh. They won't listen to me. They're wicked. It's a waste of my time to go down there to Nineveh. And if he'd been a punch in the belly of the whale from the inside out and said ugly things, you think that fish would spit him out? I don't think so. I think the fish might have burped a little later on because he had digested old Jonah. But he got down in there and realized, I made a big mistake. I didn't do what God told me to do. I need to get my life on track. Lord, have mercy on me. If you'll let me out of here, I'll preach to two Ninevehs if you want me to. I'm ad-libbing there, okay? Next thing you know, Jonah was not only spit out, but he got spit out on dry land. And he went in. Don't you think there was some passion in his message that he preached in Nineveh? My God is real. And he may have told him, I spent 3 days in a belly of a fish. And that God that put me in the fish and spit me out, he's going to wipe this place off of the face of the earth if you don't straighten up and fly right. That's what I think he was telling them. And they repented, even made their animals fast. The Lord wants to make us a tree of righteousness. But it's going to be because we chose to not sit in the seat of the scornful, because we chose to not walk in the way of the sinners, because we choose not to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. That's how we're going to grow. And the Lord wants to make a tree out of you, a big tree, as big as you can be in this life. You pray for me.